Today's episode is brought to you by Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast. When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Klass as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, and hear from the minds transforming healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more with the help of AI. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casuals and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy, and I'm your host, Elliot Connie. Jay is the woman in this dynamic who is currently co-parenting two young boys with her former partner, David.
David, he is a leader. He just don't want to leave me.
But how do you lead a woman? How do you lead in a relationship? Like, what's the blueprint?
David, you just asked the most important question. Listen to Family Therapy on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, hi, I'm Rachel Zoe, and my podcast Climbing in Heels is back and better than ever. You might know me from the Rachel Zoe Project, or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. Climbing in Heels is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women, and this season is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Stuff to Blow Your Mind from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hey, welcome to Stuff to Blow Your Mind. My name is Robert Lamb.
And I'm Julie Douglas.
Julie, what do you think when you hear novelty junkie? Like, what does that entail for you? What's the vision?
I think about the dude who came up with, like, this squirrel jumping wingsuit and jumps regularly off cliffs.
Well, see, now that's pretty cool. Like, that's somebody that's, like, into novelty, and they're out there doing it, right?
Yeah.
They're getting it done. Like, the vision of novelty junkie that comes to me is actually, there was a Portlandia sketch the other day about where the wife is going to some sort of meeting in the evening, and so she has to get a babysitter for the husband so that he doesn't sit around and watch random YouTube videos all night, drink beer, and then fall asleep in his clothes with all the lights in the house on. Because that's, I mean, the like things like YouTube, things like Wikipedia, they allow one to really flex the novelty-seeking muscle in the brain to where it's like, you know, random duck driving a car, watching it. Vomiting competition, watching, I don't know, we just did a competitive eating-related podcast, so I got vomiting on the brain. But, you know, it's like both of these are examples of you can just go from one subject to another, from one diverse tidbit or random weirdness to another without ever really absorbing much of anything.
Yeah, it's sort of like an ADD state, right?
Yeah.
But, and yeah, I guess that is the downside of it, right? Because in a culture that we have right now, you know, we apparently consume about 100,000 words each day from various media, which, according to Winifred Gallagher, a journalist, says that is a whopping 350% increase measured in bytes over what we handled back in 1980.
Yeah, because, I mean, thinking back, like, even thinking back to when I was a kid, like, if you wanted to learn new stuff, like, you're just sort of picking up new information or fulfilling that novelty portion of your brain, like, you had to go to a library and you look around, or you had to look through your dad's, your mom's books and, you know, old books, and or an encyclopedia. Like, the encyclopedia itself was always a great novelty-seeking tool.
Yeah.
But the internet really opens it up. You're just a few keystrokes away from just an abyss of sometimes useless, often useless information.
Yeah, and that's the thing about neophilia or seeking novelty, really, is that it spurs us to try to explore and find new things, which is really cool, but it can also feed into our restlessness, our distraction. And by the way, did you know that the word boring didn't even enter the dictionary, I think, until like the 1900s?
Huh.
Like, that's kind of fascinating.
You mean, so it was like a 20th century luxury, being able to be bored with anything.
Right, because, you know.
Otherwise, there's work to do. There's stuff to do. Like, what are you doing? How can you possibly be bored?
Right, but once you start automating things, all of a sudden you've got extra time on your hands, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or once you switch from being an agrarian society to an industrialized society, mm-hmm. then you're not in the fields for 12 hours a day.
Right.
And then, of course, I think that we're seeing the extreme example of this right now in our day and age. And that's what we're talking about today, is just kind of getting behind this idea of what is the science behind novelty? Why do we seek out new experiences? How many of us are neophobes, neophiles, neophiliacs, mm-hmm. you crazy maniac, novelty runner-afters? And that's what we're going to talk about and try to explore. So, yeah, let me get back to this Winifred Gallagher character. Besides being a journalist, she also has written a couple of books. And she argues that neophilia, this desire for new experiences, has always been the quintessential human survival skill, whether adapting to climate change or, some sort of new geographical area or coping with the latest digital toy.
Yeah, it's like you're marching over a hill. Suddenly there's a slightly different environment going on. And you're like, let's do this. Let's see what's edible. Let's see what's poisonous. Let's see what animals I can domesticate, ones I need to kill with a rock. Let's do it. I'm all up for new experiences. While other people might peek over that hill and they're like, I don't know about this new environment. I'm just going to creep back here and eat more of those grasshoppers.
Right. You might be a neophobe, and you might have a different genetic disposition to mm-hmm. explore new things. And, in fact, in the article, What's New? Exuberance for Novelty Has Benefits by John Tierney on the New York Times, they actually talk about this migration gene.
Yeah, so this is the migration gene. This is a DNA mutation that occurred roughly 50,000 years ago, it's believed, as humans were leaving Africa, and these mutations are actually the most prevalent in the most far-flung populations. So talking like Indian tribes in South America that are descended from neophiliacs who crossed the Bering Strait. So
mm-hmm.
Understandably, you see the strongest occurrence of these genes in the people who traveled the farthest.
Right. And the coolest thing about this is that the genetic variations affect the brain's regulation of dopamine.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like we've been talking about dopamine a lot.
Yeah.
The neurotransmitter that gives us that kind of high, the ding-ding reward, right?
Yeah.
So the variations, these variations have been linked to more, faster reaction times mm-hmm. in individuals that possess them. Attention deficit hyperactivity disorder. Right, which we've seen a lot, or it seems like that's been in the news a lot in the last decade or so, and a higher penchant for novelty seeking and risk taking.
Hmm.
So it's like fascinating that so much of this ties back to our DNA or our migratory patterns, that, you know, you could come into this world and be a bit hardwired for these experiences. Maybe you're neophobe and, you know, you're not comfortable with new experiences and you want to, you know, retract a little bit.
And you can imagine individuals in that situation being more inclined to stick around in their existing area
mm-hmm.
and sort of fine-tune their exploitation of that environment. Sort of like, well, I'm really not into going over that hill and checking out what's going over there. I'm going to figure out how to farm better here, or how to better manage the animals I need to catch to survive, that kind of thing.
Exactly. And, you know, maybe these are the agrarians mm-hmm. of history. And, of course, it's not as simple as it just sort of dials down to you having a variant in this gene. There are other factors
right.
at play, environmental. In fact, they were talking about in this article from the New York Times about novelty perhaps even being the key to happiness. And a lot of that, again, has to do with what sort of environmental factors are present, not just what genes you possess.
Right. I know that's one of the whole reasons for, like, most people or a lot of people. I mean, there's sort of different versions of people going on vacation. Some people like to go back to a familiar spot that they have this investment
yeah.
in, that's a place they go every year and it's full of memories. Other people, they like something new. They want to be blown away by a new environment, new sights, new sounds. I feel like my wife and I are definitely more in that category. I mean, there are places we have memories attached to as well, but there's nothing
mm-hmm.
like going to like a new city, a new place, and exploring it. And I mean, it really, your perception of time changes in those environments, like, because everything is novel, everything is new. It's like you're a kid again, because when you're a kid, everything is new,
yeah.
everything is novel, and and time slows down, and everything's bright.
Well, and you think differently about your world. I mean, to me, travel and having new experiences forever changes you as a person.
Right. Yeah.
Right, and that's what I love about it. In fact, I took the little quiz that New York Times article has. Again, it's called What's New? Exuberance for Novelty Has Benefits.
Mm-hmm.
And it turns out that I am a neophiliac.
Huh. You know, I started taking the same quiz, but then someone sent me this YouTube video, this gopher riding on a three-wheeler, and it was amazing.
All right. Well, let's talk about that. Let's talk about this idea that neophiliacs or people who are neophiles, or, you know, a little bit to a lesser degree, but still seeking out new experiences, are their brains are bifurcated with all this different data and harness it in a way that you can actually make something of this.
Yeah. It's estimated that you really need a trio of traits to really – To be the guy in the squirrel suit skydiving as opposed to the guy who's falling asleep watching a bunch of different YouTube videos. The individuals in this particular study, they scored high in novelty seeking as well as in persistence and self-transcendence. So persistence, of course, is sticking to it. Some people are maybe disinclined to take up new hobbies because you try it and you suck at it. Like, that's pretty much how a lot of things go. It's rare that we find some new skill or some new, you know, artistic endeavor that the first time we try it, we got it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's not very rewarding if there's no room for growth, right?
Right.
Part of the reward is seeing your improvement. But you got to have some persistence to stick with it. You got to be willing to suck at something for a certain amount of time before you are good at it and before it's maybe ultimately more rewarding. Persistent, like in our two opening examples, the guy with the squirrel suit, that dude had a vision, but he had to have a certain amount of persistence to see it through. Like, he couldn't just be like, what am I doing this weekend? I'm making a squirrel suit and I'm going to jump off of a mountain.
And I'm going to do that successfully on my first try.
Yeah, that's not going to happen. Whereas the individual watching the YouTube videos, he might say watch a video of Australian rules football and be like, whoa, that's weird. I didn't know there was Australian rules football. And that's the end of it. Where if he had more persistence, he might be like, well, I'm going to really look into this. I'm going to maybe, you know, get into watching Australian rules football. Maybe I'm going to start a league. You know, there would be this higher level of engagement with the topic.
Yeah. And there would be this other thing called self-transcendence.
Yes.
And we'll talk about that right after this break.
Today's episode is brought to you by Visible. If you haven't heard of Visible, now you have. They're the wireless carrier that's making wireless visible. It's in the name. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 a month, every month, taxes and fees included. Having a one-line plan means you only need you to save. No estranged roommates, exes, cousins twice removed, or AI-powered humanoid robots needed. And because $25 a month really means $25 a month, you can call, text, stream, whatever, as much as you want without worrying about getting dinged at the end of the month.
No hidden fees, no surprises. No, really. It's like the old saying goes, you can't judge a book by its cover, but you can judge a company by its name. So spread the word. Tell all your friends there's a wireless company out there with transparency in their name, and they're called Visible. Start saving on wireless today at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan for data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
Today's episode is brought to you by eBay. eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then, through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles in a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Today I'm going to give you some straightforward advice on how to deal with naughty kids. How about instead of timeouts, time ins? Time for you to start paying some bills. I'm J.B. Smoove, and that was a full episode of my new podcast, Straightforward. Inspired by guaranteed straightforward pricing from AT&T Fiber. Get what you want without the complicated. AT&T Fiber, live like a gigillionaire. Available wherever you get your podcast. Limited availability in select areas. Visit AT&T.com/hypergig for details.
All right, we're back. We're ready to self-transcend.
I'm levitating right now.
Okay.
Oh, wait, that's not the same thing, is it? Yeah, okay, so self-transcendence, we know about this in terms of, let's say, that the flow state. This is something that you're doing that you're really invested in, but you're also getting a lot of reward out. And that's, again, what helps with the pursual and the persistence,
right,
is that you're achieving this state of flow, this self-transcendence.
Yeah, like it's not like, oh, I'm going to work on painting these miniatures and I'm going to get really good at it. I'm going to get really good. You know, you're not thinking like that. You're losing yourself in the process of doing it. Like the guy making the squirrel suit, he is into the process of doing it to the point where he's not thinking about this as a results-oriented venture.
Right, yeah. Right. So, I mean, it's the short-term payoff with the long-term, right?
Right.
And I was even thinking about this novelty and genius, because we talked about this before. In fact, when we were covering, I believe it was the podcast on Einstein's brain.
Right. What makes the brain of a genius? It's not just a purely anatomical exercise, because you can have a genius-level brain, but it's only being used to watch YouTube videos.
Right. But then, and we talked about this too, this idea that the brain is not a static thing. There's something called neuroplasticity, mm-hmm, which means that your brain can change throughout your lifetime. And one of the key ingredients in changing your brain for the better, at least, is having new experiences. And when we talked about genius in the podcast about Einstein, we talked about how some people actually are more genetically predisposed to be open to new experiences, and that certainly helps. But anytime you have a new experience, even like if you're right-handed and you brush your teeth with your left hand, or you juggle and you're not a juggler, you're creating new white cells, these glial cells. And you want to throw in a juggling joke? I can see it.
No, I'm just thinking about like should we all do that? Should we all go home this evening, or the next scheduled brushing in our day, we should use an opposite hand just to stir our brains up a little.
Yeah, because this is the glial cells, these white cells, which are created from new experiences. Hmm. These are the things that help strengthen our brain, help us think faster, connect more ideas, new ideas. And again, neuroplasticity, we can continue to change our brain as we age. Does it help if we have more experiences before the age of 20? Yeah, because the bulk of your brain is going to be established by age 20.
Mm-hmm.
So it's great for kids to have as many new experiences and new skills as possible. But that doesn't mean that we're stuck with the same clump of 3 pounds, for the rest of our lives.
It's certainly why like going to museums is important when you're growing up. Traveling to whatever extent is manageable.
Yeah.
It just helps change who you are. Like I think I look back on, like you say, I feel like any travel, any worthwhile trip changes who you are. You don't just go to somewhere like a Thailand or a Costa Rica or whatever. You don't just go to and come back. You go to and you come back with a little of it in you,
Yeah, because...
And I'm not just talking about lower intestinal infections.
Yeah, I was going to say, or the Thai Red Bull that you speak so fondly of.
Yeah, oh, that was good. But, I look back on trips that I took before the age of 20, and I feel like they definitely had an influence on decisions I made later and how mm-hmm. I viewed the world following.
Yeah, and again, in a very basic level, those are those white, brain cells being created. And it's just lovely to think that all these things are happening behind the scenes.
Hmm.
And all you have to do is brush your teeth with a non-dominant hand. And when you master that, move to your feet.
To brushing with your feet, yeah?
Sure, why not?
So it kind of boils, neophilia, it boils down like a lot of things in human nature. You kind of want a moderation of it. Like too much neophilia, you end up just being this YouTube junkie who maybe doesn't even leave the house because he's not willing to actually... Or she is not willing to actually invest in this novelty seeking. They're not actually getting any kind of transcendent experience out of it.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have the other individual who is not leaving the room because they don't want the new experiences, right? They're afraid of encountering them to a large extent.
Yeah, neophiliacs in the past have been tagged as being a bit flighty or impulsive or irritable. Mm-hmm. And then neophobes, again, not wanting to leave the house, which is the extreme example. But again, all of this is changeable, and it depends on the experiences that you have throughout life. A good example is Eleanor Roosevelt. I mean, she was certainly a neophobe in her early life, but mm-hmm. through her experiences sort of switched over to neophilia. So it's not, again, it's just like the brain. It's not a static thing. Just like your personality is not static and very much informed by your brain. And I was even thinking about the podcast that we did about how to change your brain the hard way. John Gage, who had, a steel rod go through his head and his personality was completely changed. And of course, we don't need to all put steel rods in our head to significantly change our worldviews or our personality. But it is interesting to think about all the little different ways in life that we can change the way we think.
Today's episode is brought to you by Visible. If you haven't heard of Visible, now you have. They're the wireless carrier that's making wireless visible. It's in the name. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 a month, every month. Taxes and fees included. Having a one-line plan means you only need you to save. No estranged roommates, exes, cousins twice removed, or AI-powered humanoid robots needed. And because $25 a month really means $25 a month, you can call, text, stream, whatever, as much as you want without worrying about getting dinged at the end of the month.
No hidden fees, no surprises. No, really. It's like the old saying goes, you can't judge a book by its cover, but you can judge a company by its name. So spread the word. Tell all your friends there's a wireless company out there with transparency in their name, and they're called Visible. Start saving on wireless today at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan for data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Today's episode is brought to you by eBay. eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then, through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles in a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Today I'm going to give you some straightforward advice on how to deal with naughty kids. How about instead of timeouts, time ins? Time for you to start paying some bills. I'm J.B. Smoove, and that was a full episode of my new podcast, Straightforward. Inspired by guaranteed straightforward pricing from AT&T Fiber. Get what you want without the complicated. AT&T Fiber, live like a gigillionaire. Available wherever you get your podcast. Limited availability in select areas. Visit AT&T.com/hypergig for details.
All right. So on that note, let's see what the neophiles out there in the listening audience had to say. Let's call over the robot. All right. Here's a little email from a listener by the name of Don. Don writes in and says, "Dear Robert and Julie, thank you for the great podcast. My inner geek is very happy. I just listened to your Monogamy Shamogamy podcast, and I have to say I can never resist a George Michael reference. However, as the queen of pop culture references, I must insist that it was the I Want Your Sex video that featured George Michael scrawling the word monogamy on his lover's back, in red lipstick, of course. Thanks for being a part of what is now a fun commute. Don." So, yeah, I think we were thinking it was...
Was it Freedom that
Freedom.
We said? And that totally makes sense that it was I Want Your Sex.
We have to give George Michael a little apology there for tonal consistency, because it turns out I Want Your Sex... Well, no, I don't know. Maybe there is still a weirdness there. But at any rate, it makes a little more sense with...
I don't know. We clearly need to go back on our George Michael catalog and, yes, and revisit.
All right, here's another one. This one is from Sean in Ottawa, Canada. "Hi, longtime listener, first-time writer, persistent procrastinator. I did have one comment on your Gay Animals podcast. You repeated the danger of anthropomorphizing animals, which I feel does us a greater disservice in the end, which is failing to biomorphize humans. The very fact that research into animal sexuality can help shed light on human sexuality points to the fact that, try as we might to think ourselves separate from the rest of nature, we most certainly are not. There may be qualities and motivations that guide human behavior that simply don't exist or correlate outside of our culture, but not when it comes to the birds and the bees. We are all animals in the end. Some are more complex, some more social, some more adaptable. Anthropomorphize away, and in doing so, keep biomorphizing us."
Huh. I thought that was really interesting. I apologize. I don't remember the person who put on our Facebook page a comment about the same episode, but he was sort of taking the opposite tact, which would be that we can't equate ourselves with animals, because then we're, you know, condoning incest or rape or other things. So I don't. This is all a really interesting conversation that came from this, both sides of the perspective. I always like to get different when we get emails about different sides of it, because it makes me feel like everybody is really sort of coming in on the conversation and considering all parts of it.
Stimulating the brain tanks, for sure. We also heard from a listener by the name of Tia. Tia writes in and says, "Dear Robert and Julie, I sent this email last week only to listen to one of the more recent podcasts this morning and discovering that your email has changed." And again, we should we'll mention this at the end of the podcast too, but we are now blowthemind@discovery.com.
Right.
Anyway, she continues, "I just finished listening to The Santa Claus Machine and wanted to let you know about something in graphic novel land that is very on topic with the Universal Creator Machine. In Transmetropolitan by Warren Ellis, there are makers which create whatever you want, you need in your home, mostly food, but some of them have been modded to create weapons. A humorous part of the plot involves the makers getting hooked on drugs because they can synthesize anything. Why not make intoxicants for themselves? That has since been stopped by some modifications by the producers of the maker. Additionally, since everyone has them, there is a sort of hierarchy of inputs. The official maker food, the source of the output, is base block, something that is super dense and has to be replaced ever so often. However, the poor who cannot afford these blocks collect garbage from the streets and feed the makers. Anything goes. If you have a chance, check Transmetropolitan out. It's pretty excellent, about a rogue journalist in a very technological future." Indeed, I haven't read the entire series, but I did read the first, not edition, like the first volume of Transmetropolitan.
Mm.
It's pretty gonzo. It's this character, Spider Jerusalem, who's kind of this like futuristic, like he starts off kind of like this bearded Alan Moore character who's held up in this cabin, but then he ends up returning to the city to do his gonzo journalism, and then of course he's kind of a futuristic Hunter S. Thompson character. And all sorts of wackiness occurs after that. I really need to pick them up again, because I did enjoy the first one. I just never got around to reading any of the others.
Everything I'm hearing, I'm liking.
Well, cool. So, yeah, those are some emails from listeners. We have a whole folder of them here. We never used to. There was a time when we could individually like answer every email that was sent to us, and then that hasn't really been the case recently, and we do receive a lot of really cool emails that I wish we had time to read, but we kind of have to pick and choose at the last minute, sometimes based on length. But
that being said, please do communicate with us. Let us know your ideas.
Because even if we don't respond, we do read them all.
Well, and it also informs, you know, the direction of the podcast and what we want to cover and all that good stuff.
Yeah, because we'll say things like, oh, man, that podcast on such and such, we received a lot of comments on that. That's clearly the kind of thing that listeners want to listen to. So let's find something, in that vein.
Because it's for you, this.
Yeah, yeah. Whereas stuff like Stapler Science, we have a general idea nobody wants to listen to a Stapler podcast, so probably not going to do it, unless you say differently.
Unless it's like the coolest, like futuristic stapler that could staple me to the wall without harming me right now. And I could unstaple myself. I don't know why I'd want to do that, but
yeah.
That's just an idea. All right.
So, yes, you can get in touch with us. You certainly can. There's a little thing called Facebook. Kind of taken off, and you can find us on there as Stuff to Blow Your Mind. Just search for us, follow us, give us more power that way. And then there's another little thing called Twitter, and on there you will find our handle as Blow the Mind. So just throw us a message at Blow the Mind, follow us on there. We'll throw you links to stuff about upcoming, current, and past podcasts, as well as blog entries, and who knows.
And if you prefer, you can always get your rotary phone out and you can email us at blowthemind@discovery.com.
Be sure to check out our new video podcast, Stuff from the Future. Join HowStuffWorks staff as we explore the most promising and perplexing possibilities of tomorrow.
Today's episode is brought to you by Visible. The future of wireless is here, and it's transparent. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 a month, every month, taxes and fees included. No hidden fees, no surprises, no, really.
What are you waiting for? Get with the times and switch to Visible at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan for data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
As important as choosing the right destination when traveling is choosing the right travel partner.
Gene! Gene Fodor!
Gene, what's good?
But be careful, because the worst trips result when two partners have two different agendas.
The CIA really need your help, Gene.
Freeze, Americano! Huh? Oh!
Gene, run!
Listen to Fodor's Guide to Espionage on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. Listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.
If you want to level up your marketing and business knowledge, look no further than the Marketing School podcast, hosted by Neil Patel and yours truly, Eric Su. It is the number one marketing podcast on Apple and number 15 on business in the United States. Now, if you want to listen to interesting conversations with operators that have been there, done that, also with other interesting guests, then listen to Marketing School every weekday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.